The women are suing Rose and CBS for discrimination, retaliation, and sexual harassment. Please remember to find us online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Today, President Donald Trump told supporters at the NRA convention that the Second Amendment, quote, will never, ever be under siege as long as I am your president. Take a listen to more of what the president had to say earlier today in Dallas.
Kanye West must have some power because you probably saw I doubled my African-American poll numbers. We went from 11 to 22 in 1 week. Thank you, Kanye. Thank you. When I saw the number, I said, there must be a mistake. How can that happen? Even the pollsters thought there must be a mistake. Now we've come a long way. You remember I'd come into big rooms, big audiences, and I'd say, what do you have to lose? Because the Democrats have always had that vote. I'd say, what do you have to lose? Horrible in crime, horrible in education, horrible on everything. I'd say, what do you have to lose? And they voted for me, and we won. But now the numbers are much higher than they ever were with African-American. And we're happy. And the same thing with Hispanic-American unemployment, which is also at the lowest level in history. Unemployment, lowest level in history. And women, unemployment, women, many women, is at the lowest level in almost 20 years.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud?
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody just...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, let's give you Let's give you some news about the weather, and then we'll start with the sports guys. Well, Bill, I guess tonight there's supposed to be a chance of thunderstorms and then a slight chance of thunderstorms. That has changed a little bit. I think it was warmer than 84 degrees today. That's what they thought. Now... Tomorrow is supposed to be the best day of the weekend, so if you're going to go down to the boat, tomorrow is supposed to be partly sunny. Now, last week we thought it was going to rain, or we had the prediction of rain on Saturday. It was a beautiful day, frankly. Later on, it did rain. It really poured on Saturday night. But we should expect partly sunny tomorrow, high of about 74 degrees. Then a chance of showers, and then showers are likely for Saturday night. About a 70% chance of at least showers. And then on Sunday, showers, about a 70% chance that showers are likely into Sunday night. Monday starts out, chance of showers, and then should be mostly sunny. And by Monday night, mostly clear, and Tuesday, sunny. So, Bill, I think we work the wrong time when we, work during the week on these beautiful days. And yesterday, somebody told me it was 95 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Summer's here as far as I'm concerned, Pat. You know, it's just after 5 o'clock here in muggy, but still pretty nice downtown Flemington, New Jersey. And we're the sports guys. I'm Bill Wolfson. I'm with Pat Smits. And, folks, we just saw an exciting Yankee game yesterday afternoon on TV. I will tell you that the Yankees are looking stronger and stronger. When you take 3 out of 4 from the world champion Houston Astros, you're doing pretty good. The Yankees are come home tonight to play Cleveland. They were 6-1 on a road trip where they swept the Angels and took 3 out of 4 from Houston. And last night, sixth game was an exciting, thrilling game. The Yankees went up 3-0 early. Houston caught up with them and were up 5-3. Gleyber Torres hit a really nice pitch, scored 2 runs that he knocked in. Yankees are now up 6-5 after another run is scored. And now here comes a ninth inning, and Aroldis Chapman comes in relief, and he's Fenn with 2 out, bottom of the ninth, runner on second, which is a tying run and a go-ahead run in the form of Kent Altuve, the most valuable player in last year's World Series. 300-mile-an-hour fastballs strikes him out, and the Yankees win the game 6-5 and go home to New York happy to face the Cleveland Indians, who they beat last year in the American League Division Finals. So we've got a red-hot Yankee team, 2 games out from the Boston Red Sox, and an interesting weekend coming up.
And hopefully John will get here so you can talk about Yankees Red Sox. Also, another thing I wanted to talk about when he gets here, if he gets here, some of the criticism that swirling around the Giants as to why are they still building around a 37-year-old Eli Manning rather than taking one of the potential franchise quarterbacks in the draft. But let's wait for that.
Okay, but remember, you're not always going to find your quarterback of the future in the first round, first, second, or third round. Look at Tom Brady, a 6th-round pick.
Well, but that's exceptional. And, in fact, the fact that Aaron Rodgers wasn't selected until first draft but the 24th pick, that's also unusual. But I've seen some of the top quarterbacks play, but the word was this year that they had a really strong quarterbacks, 3 or 4 quarterbacks, and the fact that the Giants took a running back was even though Saquon Barkley obviously was a great player. Anyway, let's wait till John comes in because that
good.
Might
I
be.
Good. I want to talk about the Yankees some more, if you
okay.
don't mind.
Okay. No, you can talk about
You're
the
gonna
Yankees.
You're going to indulge me?
You know me. I am not a Yankee fan.
Well, that's good. That way I can annoy you some more. You know, it only took 2 weeks for Gleyber Torres to get back to the New York Yankees after playing in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And he came up real big last night in what I'm going to call the Yankees' biggest win of the season so far, over the Houston Astros at Minute Maid Park. He delivered a game-tying 2-run, ninth inning single, the top of the ninth, after hitting a sacrifice fly earlier, playing great defense at second base to boot. And I don't think the Yankees are missing Starlin Castro's now with the last-place Florida Marlins. You know, the Yankees are now 11-1 since Torres joined the team on April 22, and they had a 3-1 series against the Astros. Let me set the stage for you with Torres coming up. The score stood at 5-3 in the home team's favor, the Astros having pulled ahead after spotting the Yankees 3 runs in the first inning. When Torres steps up into the batter's box against a very good Houston reliever, Brad Peacock, 2 out, bases loaded in the ninth. So now Peacock's in a jam, but he's got a fresh arm. He's just relieved Will Harris, and he offers Torres a high 0-1 slider. Torres strokes it to left field, where it lands in front of Derek Fisher and Miguel Andujar, and Neil Walker score from second and third, and now the game's tied 5-5. You know, just what we were hoping for, and remember, you now have Aaron Judge hits a ground ball that forces Torres at second, but scores Aaron Hicks for a 6-5 lead. Because remember, now there's only one out. The Yankees went down the rest of the game and got into the bottom of the ninth, where Aroldis Chapman worked his magic against probably the best, one of the best hitters in the American League last year, Kent Altuve. But a matchup like Chapman and Altuve with a game on the line and down to the last out can't be set up. It can't be staged. So when this shows up, even in the early days of May, you're looking at a unique moment in baseball. And to see 3 100-mile-an-hour-plus fastballs blow away Kent Altuve, I have to tell you, folks, I've watched a lot of baseball. I'm really impressed. Yankees look like the team of destiny. Hopefully, this will continue. It's a long season, lots of time yet. But let's see how the Mets are doing. Well, the Atlanta Braves clobbered the Mets 11-0. They were no-hit into the seventh inning by Atlanta's Julio Teheran on Thursday night. And that wasn't even the worst part. The performance of Jason Vargas was hit hard enough in a second straight start that he probably ought to start wearing an Army helmet, because the Braves were just lashing the ball back at him at the mound back in Queens. Mets have lost 4 out of 5 after a good start. Now they're sitting a game and a half back of Atlanta in the NL East because of some pretty ugly pitching. We don't know where the Mets are heading with this, but pulling out of this slide is going to require a short memory, and somewhere along the line, the Mets are going to have to wake up. But I'll tell you, I think what's going to do it. You know, if you go to see the Mets on Sunday, you're going to get a Yiannis Cepeda's garden gnome. Now, I've seen an awful lot of dopey-looking giveaways at ballparks, but a Yiannis Cepeda's garden gnome, even Pat's laughing at that. That would be like taking Aaron Rodgers' garden gnome. Now, that would be sort of like a desecration, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where things are coming from. Meanwhile, the Knicks have a new coach. The ex-Grizzlies coach, David Fizdale, is 43 years old. He's beat out 10 other candidates as coaches. And he might just be the good thing for the Knicks, because they certainly weren't doing it. He was the coach of the Grizzlies. He made the postseason his only full season as coach, losing to the San Antonio Spurs 6 games. After 6 games in the first round, he is not somebody I know a great deal about, and I'm not much of a basketball fan, but it looks like the Knicks are moving in the right direction. So we're going to see where that takes us. Meanwhile, we know that the Giants are all smiles after the draft haul that they made. Dave Gettleman put it, no team finishes up the draft, scans its piece of paper listing all of its picks and says, quote, we've just drafted crap. Each year they'll bring a different sensibility, relief, accomplishment, satisfaction. Who knows how the Giants are going to do with their draft picks, and we'll need 2 or 3 years to find out.
Well, let's wait to talk about Giants when John gets in, if he gets here. because I think that there's some controversy about that. What about your Eagles? I mean, they really didn't need a lot.
Well, the Eagles were pretty quiet for a while, and then what they did was they traded around to pick up a bunch of later picks. The Eagles seem like they are going to be able to figure out how to replicate last year's Super Bowl season. You know, two good quarterbacks, two good, more than enough good running backs. The Eagles look like they're going to be a heck of a team this coming year. I think the Eagles, though, may fall off. I'd like to see them 12-4 again, but I kind of think this might be an 11-5 letdown season for them. Being a Philadelphia fan, I'm always pessimistic, as you know, but this is a good time for Philadelphia sports. As I've said before, we had Villanova win a national men's basketball championship in college hoop. We've had the Eagles win a Super Bowl. We have the Flyers return to the playoffs after a one-year layoff, where Claude Giroux, although he didn't have a good playoff against Pittsburgh, still had a 102-point season. A lot to be said. The Flyers still haven't solved their goaltending problem.
Well, let's get back to football for a minute.
Long story. But I wanted to mention also Bill Torrey, affectionately known as Bowtie Bill of the Islanders, and was one of the founders of the New York Islanders, passed away yesterday at 83 years old. Bill Torrey, at his opening press conference in 1978, announced the signing of somebody who nobody ever heard from then and nobody ever heard from since, Swedish goalie Goran Hogasta. No idea who he was, and he quickly disappeared after Glenn Chico Retsch and Billy Smith began minding the net for the Islanders. But Bill Torrey built four straight Stanley Cup championships for the New York Islanders, and he certainly is in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I've even seen his plaque up in Toronto. But it was sad to see him pass on, but he's the only Islander GM who has won a Stanley Cup for them, and he's won four. Meanwhile, Pat, you want to talk about the Stanley Cup, or you want to talk about the Kentucky Derby?
Well, you know, I'm really have no idea who's running tomorrow in the Kentucky Derby. I know it's a must-see for my husband. He loves the Kentucky Derby, so we'll definitely be watching it on television and all the hoopla. And he would actually love to go to see the Derby at some point. I'm still back on football and the draft. And so at some point, one of the things I wanted to see is, you know, they rate the teams as to, you know, A, B, C, how the draft came in. And, Bill, can you guess? And obviously this is just one group or one person who did this ranking. Can you guess which of the seven teams he ranked either A-plus through A-minus, not in order, but just what do you think?
Oh, as far as the NFL draft?
As far as the NFL draft.
Well, that's hard to say. I think the New York Jets pulled off a good one with Sam Darnold. I would give the Jets an A for that.
Well, they did an overall based on everyone they selected. So that's what I'm talking about right now.
You know, Baltimore did pretty good in this draft. They made some good trades. They moved up. They had a couple good swaps with the Eagles, who are simply stockpiling draft choices for next year, as far as I can tell.
Well, you want to know at least that this expert said, as far as the top team,
I don't know the answer, so I'm going to have to ask you to fill
okay.
it in for me.
But the amazing to me that there was only one A-plus, and unfortunately, according to this prediction, it was the Patriots.
Really?
And so what they felt was really strong, instead of using their considerable early-round draft capital to find another Tom Brady, and I think everybody was watching to see, you know, no, not anybody, I don't think many people really think that another Tom Brady may exist, but they wanted to see, whether or not they would go after a quarterback. Now, apparently, according to some people, that this was a class of imperfect class of rookie quarterbacks. I think other people would argue otherwise. But in any event, the Patriots decided to replenish the talent around the actual Tom Brady. So, he's coming off that MVP season, which many seem to forget. We know that he didn't win the Super Bowl, thank goodness. But Brady's departure, whenever it comes, obviously that's going to be drastic resetting of the franchise one way or the other, of course. But what I think this draft, most of us feel, is that this shows that Brady's going to be there for at least another year or two. And they didn't bother spending their picks on players that might be future franchise quarterbacks. So at least for some people, they felt that they got, based on what they did, they really had an A-plus in their selection of everybody that they did select. And, one of the people that Isaiah Wynn as an offensive tackle, this selection was amplified by the day two trade. And I don't know I don't know anything about the gigantic 49ers right tackle, Trent Brown. Do you know anything about Trent Brown? I really don't.
No. I know that the 49ers did pick him. I think he is out of a Southeast Conference, if I'm correct. Do you know where he went to school?
I'd have to look at it. I don't remember. But I do know that, they feel that Sonny Michel, is it Michael or Michelle? I think it's Michelle, who was Wynn's teammate at Georgia, also offers a dimension to that ground game. And apparently there is a free agent, Jeremy Hill, was also signed, but they don't think that he could be trusted to provide what they needed in that position. So, anyway, they feel that Patriots were an A+. The Giants got an A. The Eagles a B+, and my Green Bay Packers picked up. They didn't pick up the people I wanted. I wanted them to pick up Chubb. And, of course, they would have had to really trade up, and nobody thought they could trade up high enough to get him. And I never can remember his name. I think I mentioned this last week. The big guy.
A Chubb.
Whatever. Anyway. But they did. They seemed to think that J.R. Alexander was a good selection. And, we know that McCarthy favors a unique brand of defense, but we shall also see if they've put enough people around to protect Aaron Rodgers, and that's going to be interesting because we have a new defensive coordinator. I think Mike Patine or Patine. I don't even know how you pronounce his name, but he's. Should be interesting to see how he does. And now we have on time for
an unexplained John Manfreda sighting. John has entered the room.
How
you
doing?
Hey, yo.
And totally resplendent in his Miami Dolphins golf shirt. Be sure his mic is on, Pat. I want to be sure that John gets a word in edgewise today. He's at mic number 4. So let's crank that one up.
Good afternoon,
folks. Good afternoon, John. And tell us about the Giant draft and what you think.
Well, before you do that,
yes.
There have been some, this week, there are some people saying, why are the Giants still building around a 37-year-old quarterback, Eli Manning? So That's the question I'd like you to answer.
Well, like so many things in life, age is not always dispositive, as we would say at the bar. The 37-year-old quarterback can still play. He still has a good arm. He still can read defenses. He still possesses that intangible that allowed him to win a couple Super Bowls. So I think if they give him a decent offensive line, which he hasn't had for the past, he certainly didn't have it last year, and a running game, he'll be able to hit those receivers. I mean, you're going to see a vastly different team there. And you don't need the 25-year-old Eli Manning anymore to run that offense. I think it'll be very productive. When you look at the weapons they have, if they stay healthy, and of course that you can say about any team, but if they are healthy and they play anything close to par, I really think their offense is going to present a lot of trouble for most defenses. So well, I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, what about, you know, we know that they picked up Saquon Barkley,
Drafted him, yes.
Well, I meant drafted, of course.
Yes,
didn't
yes.
pick him up from anywhere else.
Of course.
Picked him up in the draft.
Yeah, right.
Stop being so precise.
Perish the thought that three lawyers should be precise on a radio show.
Well,
go ahead.
But there are people who are criticizing them for passing up on a potential franchise quarterback to pick Barkley. But the one thing that I didn't quite understand when they were talking about the cost to the Giants after 4 years, explain that. In other words, does he have such a bump if they keep him for the
talking about
year?
Eli?
No, I'm talking about Barkley.
Oh, yeah. I think what you're going to find with most of these superstar kids coming out is they're looking to get that first contract that's somewhat manageable, and it's not... Now you see this with Beckham. I mean, he wants $30 million a year. That probably amounts to tens of thousands of dollars for every footstep he takes. I mean, come on. You can't have a team with five or six, eight great players anymore. You have a quarterback. You have a Brady. You have a Rodgers. You had an Eli at one point. And what you're hoping to do is get some decent young players before they reach their peak earning years and you assign them to those 3 to 4 year contracts where you're getting very good play, borderline all-pro play, out of an average salaried player. So, yeah, and it's so hard to predict, Pat, where that's going to go because if you're putting a team together, You want to win now, and certainly the Giants are a win now team, probably the top two or three win now teams in the league. So you want to do that, but you don't want to wake up one day, 2 or 3 years from now, and find out, oh my God, all these big contracts are coming due. I can't sign these players, and oh yeah, the guys I drafted 2 or 3 years ago, their contracts are coming up. They all played well, and especially if you win anything, then you find out how valuable people think they are. And all of a sudden, 2 or 3 years into your plan, you find you're priced out of the market and you can't afford anybody. I think you, for example, let's take the Eagles. Let's take Bill's team. They have some good young talent in that team, but the key is that they're not overpaying anybody. So they can afford to keep all those guys for 2-3 years and maybe even let a few go and pick up a free agent or two. They position themselves really well. Bill.
And remember, you have injuries early in the season. The fact that you haven't overpaid means you've got some cap space. So there's always somebody who may not be an all-pro ball player, but you have somebody good and serviceable who can then step into the role of the guy who's
been I thought what you were going to say. I slightly differ with you there. I think when you have highly compensated players at these key skill positions, it doesn't allow you the luxury of signing those good, you know, second-tier players. And so there's a huge drop-off. And I think the league is replete with examples of that.
And remember something. Those second-tier players could very easily, in the right circumstances and with the right other second-tier players around them, turn into a Nick Foles.
Or better. Yeah, no, better. No question about that. You're right about that, Bill. And I think for the Eagles, to their credit, you know, they had four or five guys step up who you really – you knew were good players, but they had, you know, career years. They stepped up at the right moment. They pulled it all together, and sometimes that's what it takes to win. They may never see that again. Or maybe it's just the beginning. I don't think you're ever going to see a run like you've seen in New England – or what you saw, and although you say that, in the 60s, at the end, after the 1968 Super Bowl, and you began what is now the modern era open draft, people said, you will never see a machine like the Green Bay Packers again because you'll never be able to accumulate that kind of talent. And of course, you then saw the Miami Dolphins go to three straight Super Bowls. You saw the Steelers win 4 out of 6 years, I think. You saw the Vikings. Of course, they didn't win, but they did go to 4 Super Bowls. Buffalo, they had a run. Dallas had their run in the 90s.
The Cowboys really had a run.
So I think that, you know, it's funny. It's such a crapshoot. And again, I know you're going to think I'm doing it, but I'm really not because you have to give credit where credit is due. And loathe as I may be to do so, you know, I do want to give Philadelphia some credit there. But you know, the old saying, and it even runs in our business, okay, although nobody associates luck with practicing law. But I think we'd all in a quiet moment say we've perhaps been lucky at times in our careers when, you know, we won cases that maybe we might not have won had the other adversary picked up a case that he should have or made the argument that we think might have been the winning argument. Sometimes people just miss things. It's no different than a goalie, Bill. And you certainly being from Philadelphia, you know about this, where, you know, a soft goal comes in. It happens. And you wind up, you know, losing conference finals to the eventual Stanley Cup winner in New Jersey. I mean, that's what happened. What I was going to say is, like so many things in life, I'd rather be lucky than good.
Oh, no doubt about
and
it.
And there was a great deal of that. The exception to that, again, you can't say that about New England except for the 6th-round draft pick. There you were. Right. You were lucky and not good.
The they end of good. The sixth, as I recall.
Yeah, somewhere, yeah.
I
yeah.
think he was maybe yeah, the yeah, last
yeah.
of the
like
sixth.
199th, I think, something like that. So, but after that, it really wasn't luck. The thing about Belichick, much like the Packers, and what did we all admire the Packers for? And, Pat, I don't mean to steal your thunder. I really don't. But a keen observation, not even an observation, just the Packers showed up, right? And you stood on the sideline and you looked over the other side and you say, I know what their game plan is. They're going to walk on the field. They're going to line up. They're going to snap the ball. You know exactly where they're going to run the ball on a power sweep, or they're going to throw the ball with Bart Starr, and they're going to dare you to stop it. And until you stop it, they will keep doing it. And all the Packers did was they just did everything better than you did. Well, you know what? The only, in my view, as much credit as you have to give to some great franchises like the Steelers, arguably even Minnesota and Buffalo, who lost 8 Super Bowls between them, but still got there, they were just better and smarter than everybody else.
Well, remember something. Better and smarter is certainly important, but also the coaching that demands flawless play execution. Good blocking technique.
Yeah, but Bill, I think every coach has a game plan and says, okay, go out there and block two tall Jones. Go out there. I mean, on paper, you know what your job is. The question is, do you get that execution? With a team like the Packers, their trademark was they were gonna run that power sweep,
right.
And you can't stop it.
Exactly.
Right.
But the other thing that I think you need, and one of the things that I used to love to see about Favre, if he didn't see the play that he was supposed to execute,
think of something else on the fly.
He'd think of something else on the fly. Sometimes it worked. There were times, and that's why he had a lot of interceptions that didn't work. But that was the
beauty. That goes with the territory.
That really was what made it so much fun.
Exactly.
And if you ever watched him and the coach, I mean, it was like, you know, will you please do what you're supposed to do next time? and then Favre would promise to do it and do whatever.
And you know what? That's why I think a lot of people, and Pat, you're in the best position to really make this judgment, but I've heard it said that Aaron Rodgers is a better Favre because he can improvise probably as good or better, perhaps. That's questionable. They're about equal in that regard. But I think that Aaron Rodgers is better at running the play that's called and staying with the game plan than Favre was.
Well, absolutely he is. And I have to admit, hard as it is, I think he's a better quarterback than Favre because he doesn't take those stupid chances. I mean, when you look.
How often did you see Brett Favre force the ball?
Oh, all the time.
Because he thought in his mind, which is what the way you have to play. It's just like a pitcher. Okay, every pitch you throw, okay, even if you just gave up a home run like Craig Kimball did to Kansas City, to Gordon the other night in the top of the ninth inning, at 4-3, and they eventually lost that game in 13 innings. But the next pitch that he throws has to believe he's going to push it right by you. You are not going to hit that ball. You must go up there every single pitch believing, I'm going to throw this ball right past you. Well, with Favre, he was the personification of that. No matter how small that window was, he was going to stick it in there. And you want to know the only other quarterback that in my lifetime who I knew did that also? Think about monster arms. Elway.
I was going to say, Elway could do it.
His ball.
I don't think he did it as well, but you're right.
Elway was extremely accurate. I think Rodgers might even be more so, but also had the benefit of watching.
But did Elway really take the chance? I don't think Elway took the chances that Favre took.
I don't think Elway did either. Remember, Elway played behind a much better O-line.
Correct. The best line in foot. That's exactly right.
For a lot of years.
So, guys, we're going to be back in a couple of minutes.
Good point to break. That's a good point. We'll come back to you, Bill.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Okay, we're back. One question. Who do you think got the best potential quarterback?
I would say the Jets. I really like Sam Darnold.
I think long term. Yeah, they said Rosen is probably the most ready to play. In my view, I think it's probably Mayfield.
I was going to say, I really...
Only because he clearly, of the four quarterbacks, is the best play-action quarterback, and he can move.
Oh, you know, if you want to talk about who's ready for prime time the soonest, I agree with you, Mayfield.
No. Rosen in Arizona will probably start.
Well, Arizona's got their problems just as Cleveland does, but I think we're going to see Mayfield progress a lot faster.
I don't think you're going to see Mayfield open the season because they have a quarterback in Cleveland, just
not the long term.
I think you'll see Mayfield around week 10.
Well, and again, you know, my old mantra is I think it's tough to put these young kids in. You know, they've got to learn the playbook. They've got to learn so much that if they don't have to go in, I think that it's a better advantage. Now, we know that Wentz went in much sooner, I think, than the Eagles really wanted him to have to go in.
Oh, that's absolutely so. Remember that Wentz was supposed to be a three-year project, and he ended up being a two-year project. And he played back end of one season for Chip Kelly. And Peterson wasn't really sold on him, so he played other guys, including Mark Sanchez, beforehand. The Eagles really had the same kind of, in my opinion, quarterback problem that the Philadelphia Flyers have in goal. They did not really hit on somebody who could do the job for them. And in some cases, they made mistakes and traded people away who might have or could have traded down to get some decent draft choices. But this was a very rich, quarterback-rich draft. And given how a lot of the teams in the upper reaches of the first round could not even touch these guys, I was pleasantly surprised to see Arizona pick up Sam Rosen. I know some teams passed on him because he had something of an attitude problem in their minds, but I think Mayfield is probably the cream of the crop there, my opinion.
Maybe I think Cleveland made the right move, Bill. Yeah, I agree. I mean, because the guy clearly has a good arm. He's very intelligent in the field, and he can really move. He can make things happen, and that's the modern NFL. I think Aaron Rodgers has, to some extent, changed the game a little. There's only one Tom Brady, and he is so precise that he can lay in the pocket and laser beam the ball. Not many other people can do that, and so that's why I think your more successful quarterbacks tend to be the ones that move around. Now, with getting back to Wentz for a moment, it remains to be seen what's left of him.
But remember,
he had a severe leg injury.
Yeah.
Severe.
It remains to be seen if he can come back. And remember, the Eagles are well fixed. But, you know, the interesting thing about Wentz was starting early this season, he was able to throw the ball to be caught by some of his wide receivers.
He finally had some receivers to work
in
with.
These very, exactly. In very small windows and gaps. So...
Peterson designed an excellent offense for him that he could play within. And it was a good balanced offense. And, you know, you had mostly short passes and maybe some 15, 17-yard throws. But quite frankly, even look at New England. You know, Brady doesn't throw deep but 2-3 times a game. Everything is short passes.
But,
you know,
but remember, that changed by game 3 because – suddenly everybody woke up to the fact that Nelson Aguilar had actually learned to catch a deep ball. So we saw a couple of really nice...
And there was speculation they were going to cut him.
They were going to get rid of Aguilar. They gave him a choice. Look, go to receiver school over the summer, or this is your last season coming up. And because remember, he had a contract coming up. Remember, Aguilar was drafted second round. And everyone thought he was going to be the possession receiver because very fast, but he didn't run patterns well, and he did not.
He was a bit of a project, yeah.
He was a project, and he didn't look the ball into a pair of soft hands. There are an awful lot of receivers out there who have the speed. There are an awful lot of receivers out there who don't have the speed but have the hands. And there are an awful lot of receivers out there who have that great lateral movement. And may have the speed, but they don't have that ability to catch that jump ball in traffic. And Aguilar managed to put all of that together this year, and I'm very impressed with him.
You know, I still, and everybody knows, I do not like Tom Brady. But I often wonder if the Patriots would have been as dominant if they were in... You know,
you heard that here 3 years ago, yeah, when I said it, which is, you know, for the last 20 years, they've been in the weakest division in football.
Right.
It's almost an automatic AFC East title. You've had Buffalo, the Jets, and Miami who have not been relevant in 2 decades.
Yeah,
okay? You put New England in the NFC East and have to slug it out 6 times a year with your opponents, that's a different situation than what
the
AFC
is. I'll make it
even
harder. Put them in the NFC Central, the black and blue division, having to play the Packers, the Vikings, the Bears, and the Lions.
Yeah,
they're going to get beat up.
I agree.
They're going to get beat up.
Yeah, physical division. Whereas the AFC East is a kind of a finesse division almost. You don't get beat up as much. But you know what? You build your team to play, you know, where they play. And you got to give them credit. They took what they had, the hand that they were dealt, and they played it very well. But having said that, again, coming back to your point, Bill, that you know, some of those players in Philadelphia had career years and put it together. Going forward, you've now got some real questions. In Green Bay, you don't know what's going to happen on the receiver side. Again, the Giants now have all of this talent, but can they put it together?
Yeah.
They have a new coach, new GM. They have a lot of talent there, but it takes a good coach to be able to put that together.
And the other point about the Giants, now you have a healthy Odell Beckham who hopefully is a little bit more mature.
Exactly.
And who realizes that he's got to be serious about playing the game.
And not busting up other opponents' locker rooms.
Oh, I heard that story. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't throw tantrums in this league and succeed.
Well, you know, the other thing that I thought was very interesting is the Packers have now signed 14 undrafted free agents. And it's interesting. I guess I've never followed, you know, where they were and how many of them actually make it.
And it's amazing how many do.
And I guess my question is, and I don't know, do the coaches give them as much attention and work as they give someone who, you know.
Well, I mean, I think they have to first see there's some potential there. So if they come out in training camp and these guys are just not good right out of the box, then you know why they're undrafted. What you're looking for is perhaps a very fast player with good hands who maybe is 5'10 and not 6'2, 6'4, and that's why he didn't get drafted as a wide receiver. Maybe he becomes a tight end because he runs a 4'8, not a 4'4. I mean, you're looking for a player with good skills who lacked a little something that didn't, so he didn't compare well with some of the other players who were drafted, but he's willing to work extremely hard and make up for it with work ethic and just find a way to get it done.
You know, the other thing in looking at the, and I've just glanced through who the Packers, the free agents, and what I would say that they have most in common is by and large they come out of the smaller schools. So
yeah, you look at Wentz as an example.
They played for, well, but I mean, here you have somebody from Fairmont State.
Yeah, which is probably Division III for crying out loud.
Brandywine, Maryland. Kentucky, Richmond, Texas Baptist. I mean, Texas Baptist is not Texas Method. Oh, no, what is it?
A&M.
Actually, they did. James Madison,
JMU probably hasn't had an NFL player.
There's another guy from Duke.
Yeah.
Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, well, those are schools who will produce a player every once in a while.
But, I mean, I wonder if
they're not
projects.
in the same way
that some of these
Well, I think you always give more slack to an actual pick. All right, because you had to sign the guy, you had to use a pickoff, so you're going to give it that one more shot before you cut that guy because you want to try to vindicate yourself that you made a
no
decent pick.
No question about it, but I'm going to tell you the most bizarre pick that I've seen.
The Australian guy who's never played football before?
Yeah, the Australian guy. Listen to this. Jordan Malaita. He's just shy of
6'8",
346 pounds. His arms measure 35 and a half inches. He was timed at 5.12 seconds in the 40-yard dash, which would have been good for seventh among tackle participants in the NFL Combine in February. In the short shuttle, he ran 4.67 seconds, which would have been among the top 12 at his position. He also can do 22 reps on the bench press.
So what position is he going to play? And
They're slotting him as offensive tackle.
Okay.
But I think they might just make him the NFL's first 346-pound running back.
Refrigerator Perry, huh?
I was just going to say, refrigerator offense.
Exactly.
What about the refrigerator?
I hope this guy makes the team as an offensive tackle or as a running back. He could play, he could play both positions. I watched some of the clips of this guy playing Australian rugby and Australian rules football. It takes three guys to tackle him.
And
he carries them about another 20 yards or however they meters or however they measure their field.
He's
a monster.
He hasn't played U.S. True, but he hasn't played. He hasn't gone up against.
Those are incredible skills, though, and you never know. Now, who was it? Who drafted him?
The Eagles.
It was the Eagles. Yeah.
He was a seventh or eighth round pick. I've got to check this just to be sure, but they don't play rugby with any pads. I mean,
yeah.
Here's a question that I think every woman will appreciate, particularly because it's about guys. We only started playing football with helmets in 1923, but we started playing football with cups in the 1890s. So go figure that one out. But in Australia, football's no padding.
Well, and then, but remember also the helmets were those little leather.
The old leather helmets,
leather helmets.
Sure. And they didn't absorb much shock.
No, you wonder how anybody wasn't totally brain
damaged. They used to make jokes about Jerry Ford because of the way he played football.
Well, yeah.
I don't think they needed it just because of the way he played football. But again, it'll be interesting. I'm going to try to follow these 14 free agents that were drafted by the Packers and see how many actually make the team. but then I won't go back to my usual thing that I think they should have a lot more, you know, people either on the practice team.
You know, it's going to be, I agree with you, it's going to be very interesting getting back to the Eagles, though. What if Jason Peters gets hurt? Right now, he's their star offensive tackle. This guy, if he can learn the plays, and he doesn't,
What they're hoping, Bill, I think, is he can pick a few things up this year, and then the following year, be a player.
He could really help. The only problem that I see is you have Wentz or Foles back there, and this guy is 6'8". You're like always looking around him.
You know, that could be an issue. Or if he ever gets pushed into them,
right? Like thrown over the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we don't expect somebody who's a rugby player. I mean, if he was a soccer player and he was drafted as a kicker,
right?
I mean, who was that?
Well, they've drafted track stars as wide receivers. See Bob Hayes.
Yeah.
Well, remember Bob Hayes? Didn't he play for Dallas?
Bullet Bob Hayes, yeah.
And he had blinding speed, but he had to learn to catch a ball and run a pattern. And that was a problem when Roger Staubach would throw to Bob Hayes.
Yeah, no, but Bob Hayes had a pretty decent career. He had decent hands. For a track star, he had decent hands.
But remember, Bob Hayes was a smart man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he picked things up very quickly.
Yeah, so, but to run that pattern, you're absolutely right. That's still, to me, the most amazing thing. And I think if people don't understand football, the fact that they can, especially those long throws. I mean, when you see Aaron Rodgers, make one of those long throws, and, you know, it's just always amazing that the guy can really be in the spot. Because I think that a lot of people don't understand that they've got to be throwing that ball. The guy's nowhere near where they're throwing the ball when they throw it. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people honestly don't understand.
Or they perhaps don't appreciate it because you see it unfolding in front of you. But on TV, you can't appreciate it because the camera's on the quarterback who releases the ball. The next shot shows the receiver catching it. So you don't see how the receiver closes on the ball and how the release was so far in advance, as you say.
Well, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that, but you're absolutely right. Which may be one of the reasons why I will never really love watching football on television. I mean, it's so much more fun to be there.
You see so much more
to be at the game and watch the play develop. Let me ask a question. Do you like or dislike an end zone seat as opposed to, say, a 30-yard line seat? Same height.
As long as it's not a low end zone, I don't find it's a problem. And of course, I always hate the fact that I was sitting at the 30-yard line when Brett Favre threw that interception and the Giants.
We won't talk about that, Pat.
We won't talk about that.
And it also depends, believe it or not, at least one of the best seats I had was almost 50-yard line, but it was where people were walking in front of me to go down to go out to get beer or go to the potty. And it was just so distracting because there were always people walking in front of you.
That's a problem.
The one thing that I will say about Lambeau, there really aren't any bad seats.
Yeah, that's true.
Cold seats, but not bad seats.
Very good point, Bill.
Now, the only thing I've been in a box, but not to watch a football game, at Lambeau. I've certainly sat in box seats in Giants Stadium. And
the winds there can make it cold.
But in the box seats, it's not cold. You just have to
You're deep enough into the bowl where you're not getting that much wind.
But you're right. I mean, sitting in the corner, I sat in a corner at a Giant Packer game once, and I would have rather been sitting in the snow in Lambeau. It was so cold because of the wind, the way it blew in.
If you're in the wrong spot in MetLife Stadium, you're in trouble.
You know, it's very interesting. I sat in MetLife Stadium in a corner of the end zone about 20 rows up when the Jets were hosting the Green Bay Packers, and it was a very odd game. It was like a 9-3 Packer win. Nobody managed to score in the end zone, get in the end zone and score. But we saw San Antonio Holmes catch a ball with 1 foot out of bounds, and it was